Welcome back, everyone, to a post-qualifying special. We are Box Box Podcast, brought to you by Box Box Club, the best F1 widget app out there. You can get the Ultra subscription if you want with a 30% discount using code BoxBoxPod30, I believe. But it is also available for free on the App Store and the Android Store. Anyway, we are here to talk about Silverstone. Firstly, I do need to apologise for the fact that we weren't here last week. That was 100%. My fault, and Matt's been working very hard to pump clips out for you. So if you do want to check those out and you do want to stay up to date when there isn't a podcast, or even just in the meantime, then do follow us on social media. You can get involved on TikTok and Instagram. That's where we are most prominent, I would say, and there is multiple daily uploads. So yeah, also exclusive content that you don't necessarily get here. So yeah, I would highly recommend it. It's good. That's our little space where we interact with you guys, and I highly encourage you to go check it out. But we have a fair amount to dive into, as we are literally just off the back of the Silverstone qualifying.
Yeah, I mean, firstly, I made quite a rookie error this week by going, obviously, you weren't around, so I did the clips. So I put a clip out this week saying, hello, I'm Matt, I'm a delusional Lewis Hamilton fan, and we're going to get on the podium this weekend. I was pretty adamant until today. And even though I get my hopes up and get excited about it, we end up P5. And look, things may change tomorrow. We know what happens on race day. If rain comes, it may be different. But I had high hopes for today. I mean, I had real high hopes for today.
Do you know what it is? It's like you say, until we got to today, it was literally until we got to the final second of Q3. You go into Q2, and you know, across the whole weekend so far, Lewis Hamilton has, to be honest, looked like a man on fire. Like, he is on a mission, right? Now, Piastri has also looked very good. Lando's looked quick. Charles Leclerc, he's also been there or thereabouts. One person who has looked, it's not him, the car has looked awful all weekend, Max Verstappen. But what happens as soon as it gets to Q3? That motherfucker always pulls it out the bag. And look, I'd love to sit here and hate on Max, but oh my God. He is just something else. I quite literally cannot believe it. And people are going to be like, why do you want to hate on him? Look, I had to live through 2021 as a Lewis fan. Max Verstappen will forever be my arch nemesis. But I can't help but admire the man. He is just, you know,
You've even got now Sky Sports, and I don't know if you heard this, but they're even coming out now and going, you know, Max Verstappen is the best in the world. Even Sky Sports are now going, and don't get me wrong, I know we've always said he's the best in the world at the moment, but even Sky Sports are now saying he is the best in the world.
I mean, Max Verstappen is quite literally, unequivocally, the best driver in the world. There's
100%.
I don't think, at this point in time, there's a single man on the planet who beats him in equal machinery. And today is just more proof of that. You know, I feel like there's a lot of fans online who really back their driver, and I get it, right? We're the ultimate Lewis Hamilton fans. But you have to really draw a line between, you know, what you want to see and what you want to believe versus what is actually true. Yeah. And no one is going to be able to sit here and competently argue the fact that Max Verstappen is not the best F1 driver in the world, or to be honest, the best driver in the world. It's just undeniable at this point, and that Q3 lap tells us everything. This is not the first time Max has done it. You know, this is not an emotional thing of like, wow, look, we've just come off the back of this. And Max does this all the time. Max has done this throughout his whole career. And
I got a question. So going back to 2021, Saudi, okay, everyone talks about that lap that could have been with Max Verstappen, okay? You know, unfortunately, on the final corner, he binned it in the wall. That could have been one of the best, you know, quali laps ever. That's what people say. How does that compare from that to this? And I know, obviously, he completed the lap today and he put it. But this car is, in theory, not as good as that 21 car. He shouldn't really be putting that car on pole today. But, you know, on a track like this, where it's so basically full speed, you know, full send all the way around, is this one of his best quali laps?
Yeah, undoubtedly. Look, Max has got an absolute plethora of unbelievable quali laps, race laps, races, you know, and this is one of the best. And you talk about that comparison to Saudi. I think actually, you know, this surpasses that. Now we all know, you know, what happened in that Saudi lap 2021. I think the reason why this is so impressive, and if you compare the two, this highlights his evolution, right? 2021 was where we really saw Max start putting himself into these conversations. Everyone has always known that Max is a special driver, but, you know, when he first came into the sport, he existed in an era of prime Lewis Hamilton, the greatest driver of all time, in my opinion. God. Max in 2021, you know, you would argue that at that time, Lewis was probably still the best driver on the grid. Mm. And fair enough, you can argue Max won the championship. I'm not going into that, but in my opinion, at that point in time, Lewis was still the best driver on the grid. But what you saw was kind of a changing of the guard. And that Saudi lap showed that Max was ready. He just needed to fine-tune it. And, you know, now the difference is if Max was putting in that Saudi lap now, he doesn't put it in the wall in that final corner. Mm. And that's what we see. And, you know, I don't know if you heard on the radio, he said he saw how much he was up. So he actually just like eased off a little bit in sector three. Now that's the difference between a 2021 Max and a four-time world champion Max in 2025. And that really cements him as, look, this is going to also be controversial, but in my opinion, he is... I know everyone talks about Ayrton Senna, and I never watched Ayrton Senna. Like, I was born in 96. I wasn't there during the time. But let's look realistically. The longevity, etc. Ayrton Senna, like, tragically had his life, you know, ended short. He didn't get to fulfill perhaps his true potential in an F1 sense in terms of accolades and everything. Max is firmly in this conversation, or the debate between Michael Schumacher, Lewis Hamilton. In my opinion, Max is right in that.
Yeah, I mean, he's just getting better and better. You know, this car isn't as strong as it was maybe in 2023, even 2024, but he's still putting that car into... You look at what Yuki's doing compared to Max, and you know he's still putting this Red Bull exactly where it needs to be, and it's phenomenal. And yeah, I would agree. He's on his way to be in, you know, the same category as Lewis, Michael, you know, those greats.
That it's kind of getting to the point where I know Max always talks about ending his career, you know, not early, but he's not someone that is really spoken fondly about doing it until the age of Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso. Max Verstappen, if he gets to that sort of age and is still in the sport, I think by the end of his career, it's very, very possible that we will be talking about him as the greatest of all time. I think when you watch racing, you have to look at two things, right? One is about statistically. And we know that at this point in time, statistically, Lewis Hamilton is the greatest driver of all time. And for me, I still believe he is, based on what I've seen with my eyes, the greatest driver of all time. But Max has still got a long career ahead of him, and he is already almighty close. So, yeah, another Max masterclass, what can I say?
Yeah, no, I agree. Just talking about, you know, just before we move on and just look at the whole qualifying, I don't know, have you seen the new Damon Hill movie or documentary?
About him and his dad?
Yeah, it's literally come out in the last week or so. It's about his career, basically.
I haven't seen it.
For you guys who are watching, honestly, go and watch it. I grew up just where my dad was a massive Damon Hill fan, and obviously I used to hear was Damon Hill. And watching this, it's shown a new amount of respect for Damon Hill, in a sense of, you know, the struggles he had. He came into F1 very late. And you've got to remember, okay, I'm going to throw out some names who are his teammates, all right? So he had Alain Prost, all right, Ayrton Senna, Nigel Mansell, Jack Villeneuve, and then he was up against, fighting for championships against Michael Schumacher, okay? You know, he constantly had to prove himself to keep his seat. And even, and we've discussed this as an interesting fact, and, you know, in his season where he won the championship, he lost his seat as well. Which is mental. And obviously it goes on about, you know, his history of his dad and the impact that had, and his wife. But honestly, I would really recommend going to watch it. It is a really interesting watch. And I kind of didn't really appreciate how good he was, because to go up against those type of drivers week in, week out is not an easy feat. And, you know, they obviously explore, they go into when the crash with Senna and where he lost his life and the impact that had on a team. And it was really interesting. So I know this is like, we're talking about qualifying, but for you guys who haven't watched it, honestly, I can't recommend it enough. It was brilliant. It was really good.
I will try and watch it.
But, you know, when you look at the drivers he was up against, you know, those are just like some of the greatest in F1.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, isn't it? Because I feel like not a lot of respect is put on Damon Hill's name.
No, and you kind of forget. Like, I mean, as I said, I was very young when he was in the sport, so I didn't really appreciate those type of drivers he was going up against. And, I mean, even when he was, you know, trying to be the number one, they then try to disrespect him again by bringing in the likes of Nigel Mansell. And do you see what I mean? He had to prove himself against that. So, yeah, it is an interesting watch. But, right, let's get into qualifying, shall we? And I know we've touched on Max Verstappen, but Q1. So we saw Colapinto go out, Hülkenberg, Stroll, Bortoleto and Lawson. Colapinto, I'm going to say it now, I think he'll be very lucky even if he has a seat come the next race. There's a real reports going around at the moment that Bottas is a favourite to take over from him, because they think actually putting Bottas in a seat, they can really see the real potential of that car. And, you know, you saw Pierre Gasly today getting into Q3. So is that the real potential of that car? So for Colapinto, that is another costly mistake he did today. And I think he could potentially not be racing in the next race.
I'd hate to sit here and say I told you so, but
no, you wouldn't.
No, you know what? I wouldn't, because I received a truckload of abuse from Colapinto fans. And look, you back your driver. I back my driver. Personally, I wouldn't go on the internet and comment on random people's videos with hate, but that's just me. Maybe I'm just a little bit older and wiser. But I said it from the start. There was a thing about Colapinto that, for me, and look, this is not personal. I think Colapinto is a great personality. I see the potential in there. And, you know, I say this about everyone. I never, ever want to see someone lose a seat, because I fully appreciate the amount of work that they put in across a lifetime to get to this position. However, I said at the time that Jack Doohan lost his seat to Colapinto, kind of, well, what is the hype around Colapinto? Because I kind of felt like I was the only one that watched him at Williams and thought, yeah, he's decent, but like, he's not that good. He's not someone that, you know, Alpine went and spent, what, 5 million on him to get him out of his Williams contract and just to stick him as reserve driver. And, you know, I'll try and get the figure right, but we know that he crashed about 44% of the time in that Williams. He kind of matched Alex Albon, great, but no one had ever really spoken that highly about Alex Albon at the time, someone who had lost his seat at Red Bull, came back through Williams, and yeah, like, he's done a good job, and I really highly rate Alex Albon, but Colapinto did not blow me off my feet when I saw him at Williams. I thought the fact that they put a target on Doohan's back the second he came into the sport was just setting him up for failure. Mm. And I'd actually argue at this point that he would not be doing as poorly as Franco Colapinto.
I don't see the I don't see much difference between Duren and Colapinto in performance wise. Mm. And yeah, it's tough for him. And I always thought when he was in the Williams, he had great potential, and you know, he had a lot of confidence. But he did crash. You know, what was it, 40 or I can't remember how many. What was the stat? Not crash.
Yeah, it was like 44% of the time that he crashed,
which is a hell of a lot. So yeah, it's difficult times for Colapinto. And Briatore, you saw on the radio today, or on the pit wall today, hands in the head. He's not going to tolerate this much longer. He really isn't. And you know, when you've got someone like Bottas with so much experience just sitting in the wings, what have you got to lose? Like, what have you actually got to lose? You've got real potential in this car. Gasly's showing that. Get someone with some experience.
I think they've taken a punt on two young people. I mean, you know, two rookies. It didn't really work out with Duren, but I stand by the fact that he didn't really get a fair shot, in my opinion. However, it's a brutal sport. I get it. It's not like they're not children. It's cutthroat. That is the game. Colapinto has been undeniably underwhelming. And yeah, Pierre Gasly has been showing what an experienced racing driver can do in the car. And why wouldn't you look at someone like Bottas at this point?
What have you got to lose? You've got nothing to lose. Do let us know what your thoughts are on Colapinto. So both Saubers out in Q1. Bortoleto out-qualified Nico Hülkenberg. Liam Lawson in the RBs, P16. Heading into Q2, Yuki Tsunoda, I mean, fair play to you. You got into Q2, but you still went out. He's P12. Isaac Hadjar, P13. The RBs didn't look as strong as we've seen them recently over the last few weekends. Alex Albon, P14. You know, both Williams out. Williams are so unpredictable, aren't they? Week in, week out, you don't really know where they're going to end up, because I don't even think they know what they're doing at the moment.
They are such a topsy-turvy team, and I have said this about them for a lot of the season, that sometimes they turn up to the track and they look like the third fastest car. And then you get to another weekend and they kind of look like, sometimes they look like one of the worst cars. And then you get this weekend where they just look okay. I think we'll see them creep up a little bit in the race. But definitely Alex Albon did not seem happy. It sounded like they had made some sort of change to the car and got it wrong. And yeah, but Carlos Sainz out-qualified Alex Albon. I wouldn't say that would have been on my bingo card for this weekend, given how things were going. Realistically, P11 for Carlos Sainz is an absolutely fine weekend. And you know, his Q2 P11 time was quicker than Pierre Gasly's P10 time in Q3, so it goes to show how fine the margins are.
Yeah, I mean, and when you're heading into Q3, obviously Pierre Gasly P10 again, I actually think that's a very good, you know, result for Alpine, especially in this type of weekend when you've got Colapinto going out in Q1. Fernando Alonso, again, you know, out-qualifying Lance Stroll. Lance Stroll going out in Q1, but then you've got Fernando Alonso putting on P9. Ollie Bearman, you know what? Look, there's a part of me that feels sorry for Ollie Bearman, but actually that's practice, you know, in FP3, I don't quite know what he was planning on, what the outcome of that was, but you know, speeding into the pit lane, spinning, and then getting a 10 place grid penalty. It was just, I mean, even Max Verstappen was coming over the radio basically just like laughing, because he was like, what the hell has just happened there? Which is such a shame, because a P8 for Ollie Bearman is solid and he looks quick all weekend. He's going to start what, P18 now?
Yeah. It's such a shame because, man, getting P8 in that Haas at his home Grand Prix, I mean, what an achievement. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and ridicule a young man like Ollie Bearman, but that was just stupid. I don't even know what, I'm sure he is absolutely kicking himself right now, because he'll know, he's not going to sit there and be like, oh, that was smart of me. He's going to be like, what an absolute idiot, man. And
that's something, look, that's something I would do in the F1 game. Like, that's something.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But look, right, he's a rookie. He's going to make these mistakes. I think what he's shown is that actually he really is. I thought Ollie Bearman was going to be kind of underwhelming. Mm. At the start of the season, that's what I said. I'm never afraid to sit here and eat my words. And I'd always rather a driver prove me wrong than prove me right. And he's gone head-to-head with Esteban Ocon. And actually, he looks like a really strong driver. Now, Esteban Ocon has a bucket load of F1 experience. And, you know, that's clearly why he's gone to Haas. But we see it go wrong with rookies a lot of the time. And Ollie Bearman has come into the sport and has looked supremely strong against a very experienced F1 driver. And I think he looks to me like he's only getting better.
I mean, he's got pace. And that he's showing that. But yes, yeah, so far solid for Ollie Bearman, but it's just a shame he's going to finish. He's 10 plays back from where he qualified. But, you know, he'll learn a lot from that. Kimi Antonelli, P7. Those Mercedes. And I've said this. Mercedes, pretty much for the majority of the season, has looked better than Ferrari week in, week out. For the first weekend, Ferrari actually look good. They actually look better than Mercedes. But Ferrari still can't beat Mercedes in qualifying. It baffles me. Absolutely baffles me.
It's a curse. I'm telling you, Ferrari have the two unluckiest drivers on the grid in Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton. When something can go wrong for them, it absolutely will. And I know what you're going to say. Well, it was their own fault. They could have had AI drive that car around the track for them and something would have gone wrong. I'm telling you, this weekend, there's no excuse. This weekend, from the start to this point, looked like Ferrari's for the taking. If it was going to happen, this was their moment to step up and take a front row from McLaren. Now, obviously, Max Verstappen showed up, but let's assume he wasn't in the equation. Nonetheless, these Ferraris, in my opinion, should have been ahead of the McLarens. And when we needed Lewis and Charles to step up, it didn't happen. Now, look, it's only Saturday and a lot can happen tomorrow and we are forecast rain. But like what you say, the one weekend where Ferrari actually looked like, you know, they're on par with the McLarens, they still finish behind the Mercedes. And the Mercedes of who? The inevitable George Russell. It's about time that man starts getting the credit that he deserves, because he is putting that car where it needs to be. Kimi Antonelli came into the team as the protege, the heir to Lewis Hamilton, the long-term plan. He came in as the wonder boy. We've got to sit here and say, has he delivered? No. That's fine. He's a young man. But when we talk about generational drivers, Kimi Antonelli should be coming into that team and he should be absolutely neck and neck with George Russell. I think that's the case with these generational drivers, as I air quote. But George Russell is looking unbelievable. And there's been so many talks. I'm sure we'll talk about this properly in the podcast, full podcast tomorrow, which will be coming out on Monday for you guys. They're talking about getting Max Verstappen in the team, right? Unbelievable, right? You don't pass up on Max Verstappen. I'm not going to sit here in the same podcast and say he's the best driver on the grid and then say, no, you don't take him. You do. You do not replace George Russell with Max Verstappen.
No.
If that happens, Kimi Antonelli loses his seat and you have an absolute powerhouse team. George Russell and Max Verstappen is the best team on the grid, hands down. There's no way that you swap George Russell out for Max Verstappen, because it doesn't make sense to keep Kimi Antonelli in the meantime. I'm not saying Kimi Antonelli isn't going to get to where he needs to be, right? Everyone's got a different journey. I think Mercedes would be absolute idiots to lose George Russell at this point. And I'm not saying, obviously, if it was a one or one thing, if you only had one driver and you're like, okay, you can have Max Verstappen or George Russell, obviously you go Max Verstappen. But you don't, you have two drivers. And what you're not going to do is kick George Russell out to put Max Verstappen in when you can kick Kimi Antonelli out.
Yeah, I agree. Do let us know. Just finishing off, obviously, yeah, George, phenomenal today, putting that car. That Mercedes didn't look great this weekend. As I said, Kimi Antonelli P7, George Russell putting it on a P4, ahead of the Ferraris, who in theory looked the better car, what actually even better than McLaren's this weekend, especially when you look at Q2. You know, Lewis Hamilton P1 in Q2. I'm thinking to myself, okay, look, he may not get pole, but he'd be on the front row. No, he starts P5. Another disappointing weekend as a Ferrari fan and as a Lewis fan. But the McLarens, I mean, look, Oscar Piastri, great job. He had provisional pole up until that phenomenal lap by Max. He starts on the front row. But Lando Norris, look, he's come out afterwards and he said, yeah, I'm happy with P3. I mean, come on, Lando. Like, why are you saying you're happy with P3? Come on. You shouldn't be happy with P3. You're in a championship battle, all right? You don't hear Max Verstappen coming over the radio or in an interview going, no, really happy with P3. It doesn't happen. Like, I want to see that frustration from Lando going, do you know what? Yeah, I'm disappointed. I should have put that on the front row today. Because that car was fast enough. It was there with the Ferraris.
He needs to show that aggression. And again, like, people are going to comment, like, he's just a nice guy. That's great. But, you know, it's good that he's a nice guy. But when he's on the track, he needs to be mean. And that third place should absolutely piss him off, because Max Verstappen has put that car in P1 on pure merit. Mm. Max Verstappen, as a driver, has taken that car to P1. If I'm Lando, the competitor, I'm looking at that and thinking, oh my God, I've got the fastest car. You know, along with the Ferraris this weekend. And Max has beaten me again. I cannot let that happen. But not only Max, my championship rival, my teammate, has put it ahead of me as well. And it was super close. But yeah, coming over and saying, oh yeah, P3, I'm happy with that. No, you shouldn't be happy with that.
Not in front of your home crowd as well. Do you know what I mean? Like,
He's got his own stand.
Yeah. It should piss you off. You should be going, and I'm not saying for him to get angry, but come on, like, as Luke said, you know, you've Red Bull shouldn't even be on pole position. You should be ahead of those Red Bulls. That should annoy you. Then you've got your championship rival there who's in front of you. You know, I know anything can happen in the race and it's only qualifying, but come on. Like, I want to see that frustration going, yeah, I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed. I should have done better. I should have been on pole or at least second. I don't know. Do let us know of qualifying. I think that is it. That is a quick bite-sized podcast.
What I do want to just do, I'm not sure if we did this the last time we did this.
Yep.
Okay. After everything you've seen this weekend, I'm going to give you an opportunity to revise your top three. Now, obviously, every week in the podcast, we do our top three. You know, who's going to finish on the podium this weekend? We didn't have a podcast last week, but you did do a video basically, you know, giving your top three. You've got an opportunity now to revise it. We're heading into Sunday with a very high likelihood of rain. Yep. Now, what I would say, for those that aren't living in Britain at the moment, we've been forecast a lot of rain over the last month or so, and it hasn't really come. I remember multiple times looking at my weather app thinking it's going to rain today, and it hasn't. Today it was meant to rain down here, and I think we had it was like spitting for maybe 5 minutes and then just stopped.
Yeah, but so I'm looking at this tomorrow. So I'm looking actually on the weather forecast. So it looks like it's going to be potential 64% chance of rain up until like 1 o'clock. And no, it goes down to like 23%, 19%. It's potentially it doesn't rain.
So what that means is over that area, there's going to be a 64% coverage.
Yeah. But I mean, up until 2, 3, 4 o'clock, it's literally 23%, 19%, 14%. So is that going to, if it does rain, is that going to be enough to actually go, you know, we saw it last year. It caused havoc last year.
Yeah. And one big thing that has been spoken a lot about this weekend is Red Bull have a very low downforce package on, right? Yep. That's why their top speed is incredible. But if it rains, that is going to heavily backfire on Red Bull. So a lot can change in this race. And we saw that when the rain came last year, that it was all over the place. So now's your chance.
Okay. So
what do you want to go for?
So earlier in the week before qualifying, I said my top three was going to be Oscar, Lando, Lewis Hamilton. Okay. So I'm still going to back that because I'm hoping for a bit of rain. As we know, Lewis in the rain, and I know Max is great in the rain as well. Do I back it or do I change? I still think Oscar to win. All right. Max second, Lewis Hamilton third. There we go. I'm changing. Oscar, Max, Lewis.
I think...
delusional.
No, you're about to hear delusional.
Okay.
I think Lewis Hamilton is going to win tomorrow.
Okay, I mean, I would love that. Yeah, continue.
I don't know what it is. I have a feeling inside me that Lewis is going to win. The Ferrari race pace in the race runs looked really good.
Okay.
Really good. We know that if the rain comes, Lewis has arguably put one of the greatest ever wet weather performances in at Silverstone back in 2008 when he won by over a minute in an absolutely chaotic race for his first ever win at the Silverstone Grand Prix. Look, Lewis may not be the Lewis of old, but he's still Lewis Hamilton.
Yep.
Okay, and I posted a video on TikTok last night. And me saying, basically, I don't care what you say, Lewis Hamilton is going to win on Sunday. And obviously people are like, it's practice, you melt. Like, oh, what, because he won practice? Like, no, he's going to win because I said he's going to win. And I think if the rain comes, I really do see Max struggling. Not because of Max, but because of how they've got the car set up. It's not going to be his fault. That it's just not going to operate how he needs it to. I think we're just going to see the raw pace. And that Ferrari has looked good. I'm going Lewis Hamilton, Oscar Piastri, George Russell.
Okay, interesting. Let us know. Who is your top three for the race? I'm buzzing for it. I am buzzing for it. But I think that is it. That is the end of the podcast. A quick podcast, just, you know, reviewing the qualifying. Do get involved. Let us know what your thoughts are on it. Obviously, this is only audio, so for YouTube, the main podcast will be out on Tuesday. Audio for the main podcast will be out on Monday. But yeah, we want to bring you more content, so this is a way of us being able to do that. But do check us out on social media, because what we've been speaking about today will be clips over the next few days. So yeah, do check us out. Luke, I really hope Lewis, you are right, and Lewis does go on to win it. And yeah, let's just hope for a good race. But thank you very much for listening, and we shall see you soon for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.